What's available now are items that are going to really focus on who is traveling versus what they're carrying. We're really trying to emphasize the human element. So we're taking an interdisciplinary approach, leveraging technology, intelligence, and human behaviors into trusted traveler programs in other countries. So these programs now have a whole plethora of biometric information on the travelers that, if they're willing to do so, they can enter into the system, wind up with a card in their possession that enables them to go through their own portal at an airport, and it absolutely identifies them as the individual. So we might be looking at an iris scan, a palm scan, a four-digit PIN, and most importantly, what we call a smart passport. So like other countries, we're going to probably start to push even domestic travelers that have passports would use that as their government form of ID.
When you emphasize the human element, doesn't that expose potential for more human error too?
Not really, because what happened the last couple days was we had a human being vetting another human being with no other technology involved. One person looking at an ID card, matching it to a boarding pass, and giving that person clearance. If this person had a biometric identifier, we would have at least known a couple of things. First, we may have known that that person really was the person who's holding the ID, but the boarding pass scan would have not have matched up like it didn't match up when it got to the jet bridge. So the other part about this is if we have people that are enrolled in the program, whatever percentage of people that are enrolled in the program, it gives us that many more staff personnel to address people that have other challenges and may not be in the program, and we can really pay closer attention to them.
So what you're talking about is automating as much as possible a system that's now almost totally manual, it sounds like.
That's true, or actually leveraging a system in the case of the Department of Homeland Security in Global Entry, which I'm a member of, which unfortunately is only available for international travel re-entering the United States and not available on a domestic basis as some of the other places I'm working with around the world and they're trying to put in place.
Okay, I can understand though where people would say, all right, we'll automate this portion of the population that travels regularly and then we'll just allow people to pay closer attention to the people who aren't part of that automated process. I'm not sure people would find that very comforting. That if we're just saying, well, our solution to situations like the stowaway is we'll just try harder.
No, there is no excuse for what happened with the stowaway, and I do want to be clear. That was a situation where twice a person used identification, his or someone else's, with a boarding pass that was not his, and he was successful in getting through and passed a transportation document checker. I want to be clear that what I'm suggesting here in the way of a global secure travel system does not alleviate what happened this week. That was human error. That should not have happened. But with all due respect to the millions of people who travel each day, I'm sure it does happen. But this was a huge mistake and a huge wake-up call for everybody.
So what do we do with the system that we have now until we get to maybe a technological solution like you're talking about?
Well, this to me, Francis, is a training issue. And I'm sure that that's, having been a law enforcement chief for many years and involved with the training aspect of personnel, this is purely a training issue and one of paying closer attention. And there really is no excuse. I can't really offer any other solution than to say, I don't know how a name and a boarding pass not matching is missed. That's a really difficult one for me to explain away.
Leaders like yourself who've been in government for a long time at all levels understand that budget-wise, one of the first things that goes during budget pressure is training, and the argument is always, how do we demonstrate ROI? I guess this is a good way to demonstrate training ROI in this case, huh?
It sure is, and we have to make sure we have the right people. And I don't know who was involved, nor do I want to cast any dispersions or negative remarks with regards to who made the mistake, because we do make mistakes. But there should be no higher priority than training. Whenever law enforcement agencies or national security agencies usually wind up with challenges, it always goes back to training. Everything is going to be attached to that genesis, or I should say, that kind of dynamic. We can only perform as well as the skill sets that we have.
Errol Southers, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I do want to say everybody should have a very safe and happy 4th of July. And we are not going to be deterred by people who want to destroy our country, because that's not who we are.